Will you pray with me? Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Amen. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. In the name of Jesus, my dear fellow redeemed. It seems that looking into the courtroom is a popular pastime, including on television. So one can tune in and watch divorce court in action or watch the judge. And today we also get a chance to look in on the tribunal, a judgment. A courtroom scene. I don't know if you caught it as it was read from the lectern. I asked the lectern, in fact, to pause briefly between the sections of this text, where God simply presents a case against his people. A strong case in which he says to them, I am your God. Have you forgotten so readily and so easily what I have done for you? How I brought you out of the land of bondage, how I sent you leaders, how I took care of you, brought you into the promised land, and even frustrated those who would curse you. How rather foolishly then the people of Israel reply. And they come out with work righteousness and formalism. Is this what you want, God? Do you want rivers of oil? Do you want sacrifice from us? Even suggesting that maybe infant sacrifice would satisfy the Lord. Micah responds and says, you know, the Lord has showed you, O man, what is good. What does the Lord require of you but to act justly, to love mercy, and to walk before your God? To live out the covenant in faith is what Micah was telling the people. What might that have to do with us? Living in the 1980s, here on this seminary campus, it doesn't take too much imagination to see ourselves sitting in the defendant's box or at the defendant's table. And God saying to each one of us individually, let me present the case against you. Have you so easily and so early forgotten what I have done for you? That I also have called you out of the land of bondage, the bondage of sin and the tyranny of death. That I have sent you leaders through most of your lives to lead you and to guide you. That I have protected you and have taken care of you physically and spiritually. Have we also forgotten? And our answers at times to our God are not much better than what the people of old answered. And so we respond at times with a work righteousness. And yes, even what they were talking about, a formalistic religion and formalism. That as long as the liturgy is right, we're right. As long as everything is done according to you fill in the blank, it's okay. The problem with that is, as all of us recognize, that those sins and those misdeeds and that misshapen life of ours continues haunt us. I'm always interested in Lutheran worship, in that part of the communion service where it says a moment of silence to reflect upon one's life. Almost at that time, as if there's a strange uneasiness and restlessness. I would like to believe that that uneasiness and restlessness has to do with a spiritual restlessness that says what's going on inside of us and how importantly and deeply we need the absolution that is about us. Micah, you see, can look at us also and say, you know what is required. You know what the Lord expects. Act justly, to love mercy, walk humbly with your God. I imagine some of you can be sitting out there and saying, Silts, please don't stop. That sounds like work righteousness. Have to read Micah in its entirety, these beautiful fourth and fifth chapters that precede this, where Micah even gets down to the point of where he says where the Savior would be born, in Bethlehem. And in the seventh chapter, where is this not you and me speaking? But as for me, I watch and hope for the Lord. I wait for God my Savior. My God will hear me. Love mercy, walk humbly. These are the fruits. This is a covenant relationship which they had and were asked to live out, and which we have and are asked to live out. At our baptism, we became covenant people of God. We are the new Israel. We are the New Testament children of Abraham. And it's basking in that covenant relationship of a Savior come and a Savior die, so that we don't look forward as Micah did, but we can look backward at the accomplished path. So that in our baptism we can, as Luther says, drown the old Adam daily. And let the new man who lives in this covenant relationship with God come forth and arise, who lives before God in righteousness and purity forever. Our sins need not bother us. They have been washed away. And it's in the light of that that we can live that life that Micah speaks about in our covenant relationship. We can walk out of here this morning and every day of our lives washed clean and free to live that life. Listen with me, will you please, these last words from the book of Micah. Take them to heart. Because it's only in them that we live out our lives in Jesus Christ. Who is a God like you, who pardons sin and forgives the transgression of the remnants of his inheritance? You do not stay angry forever, but delight to show mercy. You will again have compassion on us. You will tread our sins underfoot and hurl all our iniquities into the depths of the sea. God grant each and every one of us a faith, a deep faith in in these words, that our sins have been put away. They are no longer with us. That frees us to live a life